What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Hour number two rolls along here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Before we get your tweets and your calls, there was some breaking news there. In hour number one, didn't get to it, but we have a QB decision in Indianapolis, and a part of me is a little surprised. Derek, Daniel Jones will be the starter for week one when the Colts open up against the Miami Dolphins, not Anthony Richardson. It's, what, 2 years ago? He's a top five pick. I grant you, it has never gone well. Injuries, kind of boneheaded decisions on the field. You hope and pray he can make a 5-yard out. Don't get me wrong. It is one of those indictments of the pick, I guess, in that he didn't start a lot. He was super raw, and he was everything you didn't want him to be. And this is maybe where Josh Allen maybe got a lot of people drafted that arguably shouldn't have.
Right.
But I also, it literally is the same with Trey Lance. I wonder if that injury doesn't happen his rookie year. If it turns out better. With Lance, if he doesn't get that ankle injury in year two, does it turn out better?
I would say I was not surprised about this at all, though. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that if you heard any of what Shane Steichen was saying during the week, it kind of was really pointing towards he was going to start Daniel Jones. Mm-hmm. So it was a read the tea leaves sort of thing. I turned out not to be all that surprised from it. With Richardson, it's just you got to make the easy plays more capably.
Yeah.
And that is his problem. He can't make the easy throws. He'll give you the wow play, but he still can't make the easy throw. And that is not good enough, not in the NFL. You will not last in any sort of way with that being the case. That said, man, Chris Ballard really doesn't know how to get a quarterback, does he?
No. He's also been in the job 9 years and hasn't once won the division, and the division is the AFC South. So that probably is also a huge indictment on him. It's just...
He could put together a great roster. Has not figured out under center.
No, and I mean, look, they were stunned by the Andrew Luck stuff, of course. And he was playing at a high level when they finally figured it out. He was shot. He was done. He fell out of love with football. I understand it.
They broke him.
It's just, man, yeah, they haven't been able to figure out the position. Richardson also was kind of the first time they really tried a first-round pick at it. Like, they really did sort of piecemeal together for a number of years in a row. But it's just, like, for Richardson, too, he is going to have to go to a very specific spot to fix his image. As a quarterback, they brought in a bad starter to hopefully make you look good, and you lost the competition.
Yeah, Daniel Jones, I think, really has benefited from not playing football for like 9 months.
Yeah, like where was he? Minnesota. Minnesota loved him as a backup.
Yep.
He had Kevin O'Connell there. Look what Kevin O'Connell did with Sam Darnold. He threw for 4,000 yards. They won 14 games. It's image. Now it's, well, Daniel Jones is a capable starter. Is he?
No.
No.
The answer's still no.
But the image is better. I mean, he hasn't blown anybody away. He hasn't looked that good.
Matter of fact, he didn't look good in the preseason at all.
But I think that's going to be the next thing for Richardson. And realistically, too, treat it like the transfer portal now. You got to get out of there. You got to leave. Demand a trade, whatever, what have you. And to be fair,
demand your release even.
Yeah, and the team should acquiesce to that. I mean, they really should. Move on. Wipe your hands clean of it, and I think Shane Steichen, as the head coach, maybe will want to, just to kind of save his job, just to move on entirely from the Anthony Richardson situation and go on to the next. But back to my point about backup quarterbacks and being a little bit more interesting, I would love the Bills to throw a sixth-round pick into this. I would.
I don't know if he's even worth that.
No, but about image. I can sell someone on that he might be.
No, I'm saying you can get him for less.
Oh, you can get him for less. Okay. I don't know, because he's still a quarterback with all the tools, and this will be his first team. There will be somebody out there that goes, I can fix him. Give me a.
There's someone that can go, I can fix him. That someone doesn't have to pay a sixth-round pick to do that.
No, but we're going to have to wait a little while to do that. The value is going to have to really depreciate. And that's the thing with Daniel Jones, too. Richardson, I think, will play games this year.
He will play for the Colts, mm-hmm. I do believe. Unless he asks for his release or demands a trade, he will play games for the Colts this year. Why? Because it's Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
The one person I really do feel for here in this is Shane Steichen and the rest of the Colts roster. Because you brought in Daniel Jones, who we've both said is unequivocally bad,
mm-hmm.
as a confidence boost to try to help your young gun get back to what it is. Or what he could be.
What he could be, yeah.
Which was that rookie season had a lot of promise to him. It really did. The stat line says only 3 touchdowns and 1 interception on there, but like in 4 games, he looked good.
Well, and
the completion percentage was higher.
Mm-hmm.
He was still like it was still sub 60, but it was still much higher. He still was looking like a very unique prospect. He was looking really kind of the part. Then he takes that first injury and his season's over after 4 games. He even gets hurt, comes back and gets hurt again.
That was the big part of it. He was just picking up injuries. He looked like what you wanted in his rookie year, which was he'll be raw, but you're going to love him in fantasy. He had 4 rushing touchdowns.
He did.
He looked the part, quote unquote, the part of a young, raw guy who needs experience. He needs starts. And that's why I do bring up Lance, because the injuries. You mentioned it. He played 4 games in his rookie year. Lance doesn't play it as all his rookie year. Gets the start in year 2. By week 2,
he's carted off.
He's carted off the field. His season's gone. And the team
his career
moves
basically
on.
Didn't exist.
Yeah, the team moves on. They get Brock Purdy, and well, you know, that's the story in San Francisco. They move on Brock Purdy. Daniel Jones, I do not think he's going to be Brock Purdy. Don't get me wrong. But
the Colts don't have a Brock Purdy on their roster.
But with these guys, and I do Lance and Richardson specifically, high-end athletes that are very raw, but the potential's through the roof, they need to play games. Even Allen, who does get hurt in his rookie year, ultimately starts playing early and then finishes out the year. He still plays a ton of games for the Bills in both year 1 and year 2. He doesn't pick up that injury that really stymies his development. He doesn't. And so then by year 3, he's played a season and a half of football based off the – he only misses, I think, like 4 games in his rookie year.
Correct.
So he plays effectively 2 seasons. So year 3, the jump happens. He's not dealing with these lingering injuries where Lance and Richardson, who needed to play even more than he did, because he at least had two full starting seasons at Wyoming, they needed to play even more than he did. They don't get it. Lance, I'll say it, has maybe the worst luck of any quarterback drafted in the last 15 years. You can talk about the team he went to, but he deals with a generational pandemic that takes away his entire season in 2020, the season in which North Dakota State probably would have leaned on him more as he was going to be a first-round draft pick. He didn't throw a single pick in the year prior, but then only gets a showcase game, and that's it. He doesn't play particularly well in that game either. But that's all he gets. Then he gets to San Francisco, has to sit a full year, a disastrous decision by them ultimately in terms of Lance's development, and then year 2 he gets hurt, 2 games in. We have no idea what he could – and that's why I get excited whenever he plays, is because it's the fact that he's playing football. Yes. Richardson is probably the same thing, but injuries have sort of taken that away from him. And then you also add in the fact that he has done some boneheaded things.
Like?
Taking himself out of a game because he's tired.
Yeah, that one is – I understand the main sentiment on that, but honestly – ready? Have something else happen there instead. Instead of taking yourself out, which there is some sort of like noble thing about it of like, I know I'm not the best player on the field mm-hmm. right now. Which – other players at other positions could do that.
Yeah.
But that said, man, you're an NFL quarterback and you're getting tired. What are we doing here? I do think, though, that all you had to do to save your image on that one is, ready? Oh, no. The communication wasn't all there. I couldn't hear it in my helmet. We got to take a timeout.
And that's the but in all seriousness,
I think that would have saved him.
That stuff, though, I think that comes with playing the game more. You learn to game the system. Yeah, I am tired. I feel like I'm going to throw up. Guys, I can't hear.
Yeah.
I can't hear. It's it.
It's so evil to think that kind of a thought. But, like, especially because it could hurt your team in the end that you waste a timeout because you are in that condition. But sure. Also, ready? If you have to take yourself off the field,
it's hurting your team.
Go down.
Yeah.
Don't get back up. He ran around like a lunatic on that last play.
There's ways to game
the
system.
There's an injury timeout then.
There's ways to game the system. Vets do it all the time. We'll joke about it. Every good veteran quarterback flops.
Yes.
Some are way better at it than others. Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is built like a linebacker, and he flops around.
You game the system. And I'm not saying he would have learned all of that if he played his entire rookie year.
He flops around sometimes.
I'm not saying his career is completely different if he plays his whole rookie year. But I do think some of it is different. I think there are far more positive signs. He may be still a bust. I'm not saying that everyone is going to be different if they played more.
Probably not the player that his potential always showcased.
Yeah, and it isn't clear as day that he is not good enough. And that's really the struggle for him.
And it was never even really all that clear at Florida either.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts decided to take a swing at it. Why not? Because.
Well, because if you nail it, he realistically...
If you nail it, you don't have to sign Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and this is still true because it's all about potential. He had the potential to be the best athlete to ever play the quarterback position. He is Josh Allen, but fast as hell.
Mm-hmm.
He has the bazooka of an arm, the whole thing. But, you know, always, you know, it's hindsight's 20/20. Looking back on it, he was never a particularly dominant athlete at Florida either. He had all of the tools, but, like, so did guys like Paxton Lynch. It didn't change anything. Like, it's great that you're tall, big, and strong. You're not a particularly good quarterback, and that's ultimately where Richardson falls into. 803-0550, the number to call. In the first hour, we're talking a lot about Gabe Davis. He is going to be having a visit with the Bills, although we'll see. I mean, if he's healthy, Pittsburgh could sign him before that visit even becomes a thing. I think Pittsburgh has a real need at wide receiver, too. Loved hearing from a lot of people, and then even talking with Sal, too. It may not be apples to oranges in terms of him competing against certain guys. Would you take Shavers over Davis? That kind of stuff. It could just be more they're doing their due diligence. A lot of guys are going to become available around this time next week with the preseason over with. Kind of find out. See what you got. Are you healthy? Could you help us down the line? I'm not someone that's particularly interested in going after Gabe Davis. But that's also partially because, you know, Sal pushed back on the practice squad thing. But that's really all I'd want him for. Is a role there of he would come on to be insurance in case Coleman or Shavers got hurt.
Correct.
That's really all I'd want him for.
You'd want him as boundary receiver number three, basically.
Mm-hmm.
X receiver number three. That's it. I don't really see another reason why the Bills would kick the tires on Davis like that if not for that fact. And we'll see, obviously. Like Sal said, he may not even make it to his Buffalo visit. Maybe Pittsburgh gives him a clean bill of health and they sign him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you've definitely said. Pittsburgh is not very good with their depth chart. They could use a player like Gabe Davis far more than Buffalo could.
Well, here, let's just look at their current wide receiver room.
Hit me.
We know DK Metcalf.
Right, and good player.
You're then getting to Robert Woods, who is, by the way, 33.
Not the same player he used to be.
Roman Wilson, second-year player out of Michigan. I think he also missed most of his rookie year. Yeah, he only played in one game.
Wilson was a raw prospect anyway, a player that had one of those little vinyl stickers on the wide receiver big board, but only thought of him as like a third-rounder at best anyway.
Mm-hmm. Then you have Keyshawn Williams.
Okay.
Scotty Miller. Lance McCutcheon. Brandon Johnson. Calvin Austin.
Calvin Austin, I know, is their return man.
Yeah.
You mentioned guys. A lot of
just dudes.
A lot of Jags. Just a guy.
If he's healthy, I don't know how he actually gets to his meeting with Buffalo. Unless he's like, I got to take both.
Unless he wants to.
That point is a team. Seriously.
I'm here for anyone that's loyal to the crest, though.
And I haven't heard anything on Roman Wilson. Maybe he's having an incredible camp, and it's great. I look at this, though, and I'm like, I don't see anything good. I don't see anything good here. Outside of DK Metcalf. And Metcalf himself as well.
Probably overpaid.
Bit overpaid. And I don't want to say one-trick pony. That's not fair. But he has his role. He has his thing. It is not to be a volume target guy. And when you have a 41-year-old quarterback, who, by the way, also doesn't really have a particularly good offensive line, I think Gabe Davis is getting signed by Pittsburgh. Maybe. If he is healthy, I think Pittsburgh signs him.
Maybe that's why Aaron Rodgers really did wait so long. He's like, do I really have to do this?
I could totally see that. honestly, in a world, too, where
do
it's
I really have to do this?
They're the only team looking at me. I think I'm kind of done. I mean, he's outright acknowledged that this is probably it. The offensive line is not good. Their receiver room is not good. The defense might be. And he's like, maybe. We'll see. It could lead him to get into the playoffs one more time.
Sure.
That's really all I got is it could, but maybe could. Not.
And could you imagine he's the one that breaks the Steelers' non-losing record streak?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a tip on the cap of the how the mighty have fallen narrative that he has definitely been running with for these last couple of years. His last starting season in Green Bay and then his one actual season that he plays with the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the Achilles tear. And it's weird because Rodgers does have such a long, illustrious, fantastic career. There is a Super Bowl in there. It's almost a crime that he only has one.
He's only been to one.
And part of that, though, is he has also had games in the postseason where he has failed to deliver on expectations.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them against San Francisco, especially at home, too.
Yes. So you kind of look at it and go, okay, yeah, it kind of makes sense. Even though he had such a great career.
I would argue his peak, and I would say like the year before he wins the Super Bowl until, 2018, 2019, he was
even
maybe,
2020.
Yeah, he was maybe my favorite football player. Like not a Bills player, but like who's going to get me to a TV? Rodgers was probably the first name for me.
Josh Allen's best run at an MVP
is
up
ruined
until last
by Rodgers.
Year. Was ruined by Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. He is probably my favorite football player that's not on the Bills. That run there, again, like I need to get to a television. This player's he was that guy for me because I was really when I got into football, Manning and Brady had already established themselves.
Right,
like you know, I'm a wee lad when those two are getting good.
I'm a wee lad
when those two are getting good. So like I didn't grow up with them. Rodgers, I remember watching the draft and seeing his face, and then not hearing about him for years, and then he pops up, and then he's awesome. You know, the James Stark Super Bowl against Pittsburgh, which that's exactly what I'm going to call it that. You know, he's on that Green Bay team, and he's having a good Super Bowl, but Rodgers is dynamic as hell, and he's awesome. And then you also have the years to, you know, the relax. You know, they're going to be fine. They rattle off like four straight wins to go to the playoffs.
And they make the playoffs. The ownership of the Chicago Bears.
There was something
where the city of Chicago rightfully took it personally.
And they should have, yes.
I would take it personally at that point. Like, Brady against the Bills? Like, yeah, he did it to everybody. But in particular, Rodgers against Chicago? Yeah, I would take that one more personally. Because when it was Brady with the Bills, it was also the Patriots as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
Brady obviously was Brady, but there were games where he struggled, and they still...
They would still be fine.
They'd still whoop on the Bills. Or he didn't have to do anything at all. He wouldn't have to lift a finger.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers? No, it was all just hell when the Chicago Bears had to face Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Yeah, just it will be somewhat of a sad way to see his career go out. Especially,
oh, and he has one more time to make it hell on the Chicago Bears.
Does Pittsburgh play him this year?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
That was how we got our hint of, oh, he's actually going to sign with the Steelers.
Yeah. Week 12 at Chicago. Hell yeah.
Yep. Oh, they're wearing those weird goofy uniforms then.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I have...
Could you imagine, like, you're trying... Oh, wait, hang on.
I have way less excitement for that game now. Way... I mean, it wasn't high. I just found out about it now.
Or is that against Green Bay that they're doing that?
Might be against Green Bay.
Yeah, it might be Green Bay. But either way, those jerseys, not great. But Rodgers has a chance to get a win against his old club. And... Oh, he's on the road against the Bears. Yeah, the goofy uniforms are against the Packers.
It's amazing. But yeah, I have, you know, a way, like the kid in me has not liked how his career's ended.
Right.
Going to the Jets and...
Becoming this insufferable persona as well.
It's more just insufferable. I haven't really enjoyed that at all because growing up, he was one of my favorite. And I'm not a Jersey guy. Outside of the teams that I follow, he was probably the closest I got to getting a jersey of a player. That I don't follow the team. I actually don't like the Packers at all. I didn't for a long time. I thought they were ridiculous. But Rodgers was like that stalwart. I absolutely loved him. And it's going to be kind of weird, like, to see him also go away. Because I'm also now noticing, too, when people do, like, the age brackets for quarterbacks, like, Mahomes and Allen are no longer young guys. They're on the third tier with, like, the fourth being, like, Matthew Stafford at 36. And I'm like, oh, we are kind of getting long in the tooth, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
It's a bit wild. But, yeah, Pittsburgh, I absolutely could see signing Gabe Davis because they need to. Like, you see the depth chart there at wide receiver two past DK Metcalf. It is a cavern, and it is not good. Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Before the Gabe Davis news kind of went out there, I threw up today on Twitter, you know, with us going into the last preseason game of the year and the defense being very much a story, do you think the Bills have done enough on defense to be a better unit than last year? James tweets in, there is no real way of knowing at this point. And given where the Bills are, we won't know until the calendar flips in January of 26. If Benford, Milano, Bosa, and Hoyt are all healthy heading into the playoffs, I think the answer will be yes. But will those things happen? ... And that's kind of like where I'm getting to. And it's also to kind of like keep my sanity going, Derek. But if Bishop, let's say, for argument's sake, continues to struggle going the year, but he is getting better. Like week one, not great, not terrible. And he's getting better and better and better. That's fine. The Bills are not a team that is a fringe playoff team. Yes, they are hunting the one seed, and you want to beat Baltimore week one, of course. They did also beat Baltimore without Bishop on the field. I think that was Hamlin and Rapp starting at safety.
Yes.
They also were doing that with the defensive line that they then had to retool. And you don't have...
And did retool.
And they did retool.
Aggressively.
Now, of course, you won't have Hoyt and Ogunjobi, don't get me wrong. But they did make a lot of moves on the defense. So I think they can absolutely still beat Baltimore, even if Bishop's not a particularly good safety right out of the gate. But that's... I think James is on that. Like, for me, it's... I care how they're going to be looking at the end of the year. I care about January. I look at the Philadelphia Eagles defense last year. You look at a lot of their numbers, doesn't look all that particularly impressive. I think the Bills had more QB pressures than they did. But by the end of the year, everything worked. Carter is a hellraiser. Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell really got into their stride as rookies and started pushing forward. And then it hit. And now we all look at the Eagles as a super team. But up to that point, I mean,
They were actually... Plates were wobbly even in the divisional round. The Rams almost come back and beat them.
But they got right. I mean, they essentially just got right. And so that's a big thing for me is I want to see improvements as the year goes on because January for these guys is when it's going to matter.
I'm thinking, like, looking back on that now, like, thank goodness the Eagles did actually win because they probably would have been the only one that I would trust to beat the Chiefs outside of, like, considering that the NFC Championship would have been Rams and Commanders.
Yeah.
Do you trust either of those teams to beat Kansas City?
Probably not. And then real quick, before we take our next time out, Bennett tweets in, we don't really know. I like some of the stuff others that seem to be totally ignoring, safety for instance, and some were plugged in by old, always hurt guys that were once great. Can they stay healthy? Joey Bosa, of course, being that kind of big name. And can they be good still? Guess time will tell. Still very concerned, though. And I think that's fair. I think it's fair to be concerned because it is a completely retooled unit, and the preseason hasn't really made you feel all that great. Against the Giants and the Bears, the defense gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points. But it is still the preseason, and the coaching staff has acknowledged openly they do not game plan. And even last week, this Sunday, the starters did not play outside of Bishop, which in and of itself could have been a reason why Bishop didn't play particularly well. He's with a bunch of backups. 803-0550, the number two call. Head coach Sean McDermott going to be speaking with the media at 12 o'clock for a 12:30 practice as the Bills get ready for their final preseason game of the year, taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Tampa on Saturday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR. That was former Bills wide receiver Gabe Davis earlier this summer with Kay Adams. Talking about, yeah, he would want to come back to Buffalo. I mean, of course, his time in Jacksonville did not go well. He got paid, though.
He got paid. But it did not go well.
And to be fair, I think most of us assumed that was not going to go well.
Yeah, I also think it was... It's weird because he goes to Jacksonville. They don't really have... It seemed like almost like a redundancy that he went there because Christian Kirk and all this, and they draft Brian Thomas. They really invest in the position,
mm-hmm.
and Davis is effectively the odd man out. And then he gets hurt and is done anyway. Kind of puts all the hard decision making for Jacksonville out of the way.
Yeah, and they do pay him a pretty penny. 3 years, $39 million, $11 million signing bonus, and then guaranteed at signing, $24 million. Also, of course, as we just talked about this with running backs, it does tell you the inflation in contracts with the wide receiver position. His average salary was $13 million a year.
Yeah, it's – I don't know how you need to really – look at Gabe Davis at this point. It was a nice discussion with Sal Capaccio about that, though, with maybe it is more about a focus on kicking the tires about a 53-man spot.
Mm-hmm. A lot of guys will become available around this time next week.
But also a lot of guys become available. For Davis, you're doing him a favor of, we'll look at you first. Before everyone comes available,
mm-hmm.
we'll give you a look first. And... say he's healthy enough to go out right now, right? How you feeling? You want to trot out against Tampa Bay? We could use some bodies.
And that's a thing, too, is maybe that is part of this as well, because you brought up with Sal. Like, they've already made some signings because, well, starters probably aren't going to play again. And then what, you're going to just have Frank Gore out there as running back? No, you got to bring somebody else in. Maybe that's true of the wide receivers as well, of like, you know, especially he's been somebody that clearly has been dealing with some health issues. The report out of Pittsburgh is they're bringing him back in today for a second visit because there were some concerns with his health in his first visit. So if he's healthy and he doesn't sign with Pittsburgh and he does sign with Buffalo, it would get him some game reps and some game action real quick. You know what? He'd be here for 3 days before that ultimately ends up happening.
Right.
It'd be a quick turnaround, but that's
also... you have a chance to put some tape out there being like, hey, I'm good.
Yeah, and it's welcome to week three of the preseason where everything's a quick turnaround. We need guys on the field so that our starters or our roster players aren't getting hurt.
And also, you have a chance for teams to look at you and go, okay, so he's all right.
Yeah. Good. Absolutely.
Good. That's how you look at that. That's how you need that to look.
I just... like I mentioned it earlier when this stuff was breaking. At least I put it on social media. I don't want Davis's career to end. He was not a bad Bill. I have his jersey. I'm part of the reason why his career went to hell. I acknowledge that. I bought his jersey and it went badly. I acknowledge that. But it doesn't mean I want his career to end. I just don't really want the Bills to go back to that well. I've mentioned it a lot.
Right.
I do not like when teams go back to the old reliable. They know the system. We trust them. They may not be particularly good, but we need to put guys on the field. And you know, for some fans, it's a big, nice reunion, what have you. We went through this last year with Micah Hyde when the safety room was begging for help. A lot of fans wanted the guy that openly acknowledged he does not see a route where he plays unless it's, oh, God, no one's healthy and I need to.
Right.
You know, I've already seen the reports of Jordan Poyer this week. Because the safeties didn't look good in a preseason game.
And I don't know if it was reports. It was just
words. Excuse me. Words. Yes, thank you. I've already seen people want that to happen. No.
That's okay to be wrong. It's all right. Like, not you. Mm-hmm. People that want Jordan Poyer back. No. It's okay.
And I've acknowledged it with Trey White, that while I'm okay with Trey White being cornerback number two for week one, a lot of it was under the impression, though, or at least for me, the assumption, cool, but by week six or seven, Harrison takes over, and White becomes a really nice backup. And now, of course, has to become, it doesn't really matter if Harrison was catching him, he was hurt. You know, it's going to have to be Trey White. But that's always been my thing. I am always somebody that's looking to the next generation, the next wave of players coming in rather than going back to the old reliables, going back to the guys you trust, what have you. Because ultimately, it's never what you had before. It never is. So even that, bringing in Gabe Davis, don't give me what he did in 21 or 20, 22. What did he do in 23 when he was last with the Bills? What did he do in 24 before he got hurt? Because that's ultimately the player you're getting. That's the one that's coming back. Not the guy that you initially really liked and believed he could be a wide receiver too, or at least some of us did. That's not the guy you're getting back. It's the same. Ultimately, it is the same with Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer.
Right.
Do not go back to 5, 6 years ago. Don't even go back 3 or 4 years ago. Go back to now. Micah Hyde mentioning, yeah, unless everyone's hurt, I'm not playing. Jordan Poyer, we talked about it because he was on a division rival. He looked slow.
He looked cooked.
He arguably hurt people because he couldn't move at the same speed. His mind knew where he needed to go. He could not move at the same speed. I think that's where the Keon Coleman injury comes from. He's just a step slower.
He's a step slower. That hit probably goes a little higher into the chest, not into his wrist. And maybe. And
it's the same. It's the same with Trey White too. Like I think a fair question is how much do you actually trust him to be cornerback two next to Benford? Are we sure this is going to work out?
This decision was made because Harrison got hurt.
Yeah. Even though and we've talked to Sal, White clearly had the early lead. We don't know how that goes, though, the rest of the preseason. Harrison maybe starts to pop, and they're like, yeah, no, Harrison's going to be cornerback two to start. We don't know. He's been hurt for a number of weeks now.
Correct.
And same with Trey White. Don't give me the all-pro stats. He's not that player
anymore. He's not that player.
And that's where I've been.
Or he has to prove that he is that player again.
And that's where I've been very slow to kind of wrap my arms around Matt Milano being back. It's taken me a while here, and even still I'm very apprehensive because ultimately – it's been a few years since then. It's hard for me to, and it's the same with good going back to bad.
Right.
You know, Josh Allen now, if he starts this year kind of rough, it's going to take me a little while before I'm like, he's having a bad season or something's wrong because we've had so many good seasons in a row. It's the same with, we've had very few good seasons here. Are we sure this is going to work? Whether it be to injury or just passage of time. Josh Palmer. Why can't many of us, you know, wrap our arms around him? Well, his last good year was 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Right.
Are we sure about that? It's why many of us go to Micah Parsons, Trey Hendrickson, Myles Garrett when we're talking about getting a good pass rusher. Because Joey Bosa can't stay healthy in his last good years ago, where Parsons was awesome last year. Hendrickson led the league in sacks last year.
Yeah, it's not very distant. And, yeah, there's something about going back to the well that you don't always need to do it. And, like, a lot of teams do this. This is not a Bills exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. It's an NFL. It's a pro sports thing.
It is a pro sports thing that you go back to the well because, you know, this guy knows the system. Here's the thing. There are core concepts that are probably going to be the same. But Joe Brady is not the same system. As a matter of fact, it was the system you ultimately struggled more times than not in.
Mm-hmm.
It is more balanced in not run-centric, but like it's more balanced with the run game. So his capabilities as a blocker, Gabe Davis's, would be valued. But if I'm signing a wide receiver to be a blocker?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Well, then the vet minimum feels a lot better.
Well, no, not just that. Then I don't know where your priorities lie.
Mm-hmm.
Because a wide receiver is still a receiver, not a primary blocker.
Right.
And yeah, they have that. They had that with Davis. Mac Hollins was able to bring a good portion of that as well. But Hollins also had special teams capability in there as well. I don't know if Gabe Davis ever played special teams with the Bills.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that. Especially his rookie year. It's not that he popped, but he had a very clear role as rookie year. He had 35 catches, 7 touchdowns.
Right.
He was used as a receiver very quickly. I mean, he's a 4th-round pick. It's not like he was a 7th-round pick and they discovered him. He's a 4th-rounder out of UCF. He was good. But Yeah, I mean, look, it's sort of an inconsequential potential signing. I think it does point, though, to some things. I know a lot of people will look at the wide receiver room again and start banging the drum of why did the GM complain then about people complaining about the lack of wide receiver moves when the next day they go out and sign Elijah Moore. Now they're, you know, looking back at Gabe Davis, what have you. I think a lot of this is what Sal said. It's just doing due diligence. I mentioned practice squad. Maybe that's not the route they go down. But if he doesn't have a job by next week, kind of want to be on a roster.
Right.
I could absolutely see that. And then, you know, at least for me, look, the Elijah Moore thing hasn't worked out. I've really liked what I've seen from Tyrell Shavers. It's two straight camps that he's looked pretty darn good. And now every preseason game, he has had something pop where you're like, okay, there you go. You have the big catch against the Giants, but he cooked his guy in the second half. Was it the second half or late first? I think it was late first.
Yes.
And it's just missed by Mike White. But he cooked his guy. And you're like, that's what I'm looking for. That's what those individual performances are what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
He got a win on one-on-one. It was perfect.
Yeah. Can you be reliable and consistent enough as the boundary receiver in case we need you to take some snaps? Is simply what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And now, okay, if there's another potential for an insurance policy for that, in case Shavers has to be the primary X for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an injury to Palmer or Coleman on the outside, you need somebody that can play boundary receiver for you.
Yep.
Then having insurance is never a bad thing. That's why I still will say, like, say the Bills and Davis, they have their visit, nothing gets done. That might be, hey, man, we know what the market is about you. We will bring you to the practice squad. Because they've done this before with players.
Mm-hmm.
Most notably, I mean, last year it was Micah Hyde. Micah Hyde gets a practice squad spot. They don't guarantee any sort of playing time, but they do the man a solid.
Yeah. He's in the locker room, the whole thing.
He's in the locker room. They get him for that. And then Gabe Davis could be the same thing. You get him in the locker room so he can get comfortable, and then maybe into the season he is part of the 53.
Right. 803-0550, the number to call. We have not even mentioned it once today, but episode 3 of Hard Knocks premieres tonight on HBO. I want to say it's at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. I keep forgetting that. I know it's 9 o'clock, but the day of, I'm like, it's 8 o'clock. It's not. 9 o'clock over on HBO, episode number 3 of Bill's Hard Knocks. There's only 5 total episodes, so after tonight, only 2 more. And then also, something that I've talked about a lot, I'm very excited to eventually watch when I get the time, is over on Netflix. America's Team, The Gambler and His Cowboys, Jerry Jones, the 90s Cowboys, the building of all that. That is also up starting today over on Netflix. So some pretty good sports watches for you tonight as we wait for the Bills' final preseason game on Saturday. Again, 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. You're listening to WGR.
Tonight on SportsCenter, the preseason Monday Nighter certainly did not disappoint in D.C. While an old D.C. star powered up the Phillies against the Mariners twice. In Pittsburgh, Paul Skenes actually got runs, 2 of them. Was it enough against Toronto? But really, sometimes you gotta keep it simple and direct.
Why didn't you go down?
I wanted to score.
This show is all about strolling down memory lane. No, not about having hair. It's about throwing a whole bunch at you while having an old school good time. So stay tuned and don't flip out. SportsCenter is next.
This is not SportsCenter.
Yeah, but for the first time in 22 years, last night Rich Eisen was on SportsCenter.
Those were actually his first words immediately after that opening crawl. For the first time in 22 years, hello, I'm Rich Eisen, and this is SportsCenter.
That was really cool to watch last night. I will tell you, though, obviously being 22 years ago, I was 5 or 6 when Eisen stops doing it. I know him much more as a host on NFL Network.
Right.
That's the Rich Eisen I know, but I always knew where he started, him and Stuart Scott and all of the really iconic clips of the two of them. I didn't watch it live. I watched the clips later on in the night, and I got goosebumps hearing it, like, you know, the SportsCenter, you know, jingle, the chime that it has and everything. It was awesome.
The saxophone.
The saxophone's great.
The saxophone really brings it out of you. But also a beautiful tribute to Stuart Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Mentioning several times in that tribute, there should be someone in this chair next to me right now. Which, it was a beautiful sentiment from Rich Eisen. And he even puts a little bit of Stuart Scott's catchphrases into the next game. He looks at the Bears-Brewers game,
mm-hmm.
or Cubs-Brewers game. I'm a genius.
You got there.
But it was a beautiful sentiment. But now, here comes the fallacy. Are you ready?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
This does nothing for ESPN. All it does is gives us good feelings.
The nostalgia hits hard.
The nostalgia hits you. But ready? Say ESPN does this long term now with SportsCenter. They try to make it back into a little bit of a hybrid of what it was and what it is now. It does nothing for ESPN's programming. Because First Take still exists. Every one of your yelly, screamy shows still exists.
Mm-hmm.
If SportsCenter is better and improved, it only fixes some of your programming, often late.
Yeah.
When the East Coast might be heading to bed. It doesn't fix Get Up. It doesn't fix First Take.
It kind of doesn't also fix like
NFL
where
Live
sports
is your
gone.
Only NFL Live is your only good show when it comes to not having constant hot takes thrown at each other.
But I also think, like, too, with SportsCenter, like, it, you know, SportsCenter was great, you know, 22 years ago, right, when Eisen and Stuart are on together. It's also because none of us had phones where you can go on social media and see the highlights right away.
Even if they didn't care.
SportsCenter was appointment television, it won't be that anymore.
Even if you fly in the face of that and you still try to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
People would watch.
Yeah, for at least a little while.
People would watch. The problem is, it doesn't fix the rest of your programming, mm-hmm. and not enough people will be brought back for that.
Yeah.
Even if you try to fly in the face of modern-day technology and you decide to have anchors taking care of highlights for it, I would absolutely watch that. But I also know that it would fix nothing about mm-hmm. what the network's direction has gone in and what sports discourse shows have become.
And it's have been for a while.
It's all about yelling and screaming at each other. And it's all about putting the hot take out there that will make the rounds on social media after mm-hmm. that. Hey, can you believe that Stephen A. said this? Hey, can you believe that Chris Canty said that he has a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10 on Josh Allen making it to the Super Bowl eventually? Those clips make the rounds. That's why Around the Horn died, because good journalists made good points.
But they were often less sexy. They were less
they
fun.
They don't go yeah. back into the internet. They don't get recycled
mm-hmm.
when you make good points. You only get that when you get bad points. But that's all the time we've got here today. Sabres Live, coming up next here on WGR.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.